ready to get serious about building content sites and building a profitable business online? Welcome to the Niche Website Builders Podcast. We bring you the latest field-tested tips, tricks, and strategies for building a profitable online asset. We interview industry experts, share customer success stories, and reveal our own experiences working on hundreds of sites to inspire and motivate you to make something happen. Let's do this.
Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of the Niche Website Builder Podcast. This week's guest is industry veteran Daryl Rosser. He's got an awesome story to share with us today from literally making hundreds of thousands of dollars back when he was 16 and 17 on Facebook, to losing it all via a dodgy business partner, to making it all back and then more through a number of different online ventures since. In 2014, he launched lionzeal.com, where he spent the last couple of years basically sharing his knowledge, creating videos for YouTube, and just basically sharing what he's been up to. And he also launched the Lion Zeal Facebook group, which Niche Website Builders has recently acquired. So I'm excited to announce that. And keep your eyes peeled for some cool plans we've got for it in the next couple of months. With Daryl, then, we also talk a little bit about what he's currently doing. So aside from running his website, he also runs a small e-commerce agency. And we talk about how he's built that up and how he's built it to be a lifestyle business rather than concentrating on kind of scaling it as fast and as quickly as he can. And that suits his lifestyle, that suits who he is, and that suits kind of the pace that he wants to be at. So awesome episode. I really enjoyed chatting with Daryl. I'm sure you will love it too. Let's get into it.
This episode is brought to you by Niche Website Builders, an agency dedicated to helping people just like you build profitable content sites. Niche Website Builders are the hands-off content site marketing agency you always wished existed. It's run by content site marketers for content site marketers, and they help both investors and individuals alike build profitable online properties. They provide a fully outsourced approach to content creation, link building, and done-for-you website builds, the same approach they use on their own six-figure portfolios. For example, their content packages come with a proprietary keyword research process, are written by in-house native English speakers, formatted using templates proven to convert, and uploaded to WordPress with affiliate links added so that all you need to do is hit the publish button. Check them out at nichewebsite.builders/show. That's nichewebsite.builders/show and fill out the form to get coupon codes for 10% more content or a 10% discount on links with your first order sent right to your inbox.
Hey, Daryl, how's things?
Good, man. Thanks for having me today. How are you?
No, you're well. Yeah, you're welcome. And you're obviously based over in Vietnam, right?
For the last, I kid you not, almost 6 years now, which is a long time.
Yeah. How did you end up there? What was that journey like?
I mean, it's pretty boring. So I went to Thailand for a friend's mastermind, and we're in like Phuket for like a week in some like fancy villa and everything like that. And I'm like, okay, this is a lot better than my hometown. I don't know if you, like, I'm from, my hometown's called Corby. It's like a really boring town. Everyone works in factories, stuff like that in Northamptonshire. Yeah. And it's just, it sucks. But I was living there with my parents because I was like struggling to make money for a while, and I was still building back up again. But at that point I was doing like, yeah, you know, six figures-ish sort of level. And I was like, okay, screw it. When I was in Thailand, screw it. I need to come like live out here. This is way better. So I ended up in Thailand, did that for a year, ended up visiting Vietnam, came here for 3 months, then it became 6 months, then a year, and 6 years later almost, I'm still here.
Yeah, I sound like we're from very similar places. So where I currently live, I'm still here actually. It's the same. It's a boring small town where people, yeah, work mainly in factories. And my dad worked in a factory his whole life. It's one job in a factory his whole life.
Yeah,
nowhere near as exciting as nowhere near as exciting as Thailand or Vietnam. But when you said something there, you said you were building back up. What were you building back up from?
So when I was about 16 years old, give or take, it's a while ago. When I was like 16 years old, I started doing affiliate marketing, CPA type stuff, incentivized CPA. And it was like very, very spammy stuff, to be completely honest. It was very spammy. You know, like the early days of Facebook spam, basically, which is like 2010, 2011, I think.
Yeah.
You could like create like viral apps. You could create like pages that, like, we had pages that went from like zero to like 700,000 fans. The biggest Facebook page we had was like 8 million fans, something about Justin Bieber, stuff like that. We had some apps that went viral, stuff like that. And it was cool. Like, we're making like loads of money. But it was also really spammy. So, whatever. But what basically happened in the end is we made like a buttload of money. Like, we're talking like, I'm 16 years old, 17 years old, actually, I think. And we made like hundreds of thousands of dollars that year. Our best day was like $22,000, almost all profit. And I had a business partner that I kind of started working with. He's kind of a mentor of mine near the beginning of that. So I got up to about $3,000 to $5,000 a month myself. And then he kind of saw what I was doing. Is like, he didn't really know what I was doing, but he saw there was money in it. So he was like, hey, let me invest. It was like £20,000 and I'll partner with you. And we actually did 50-50, which makes no sense. I have no idea how to value my business at that time, but whatever. In exchange for him like coaching me and mentoring me and advising me how to grow the business, which seemed like a good deal anyway at the time. Fast forward, basically a year later, we made all that money. Not to take the credit, but it was basically on me. And then we had a business disagreement, and long story short, like, he stole the money that we had left, took me off the company. Oh, I screwed up with contracts and stuff. I had no idea what I was doing. And basically, I kicked out of my own company.
Oh, wow, man, that sounds horrible. That's
a good lesson in hindsight. And it kind of got me on a good path. So, I mean, wouldn't change it now, but back then that kind of screwed me a lot. So yeah, so that was, I was like 17 years old, a few months before I turned 18, I think. Went from like spending money and being stupid with money because I didn't really have any value towards it, especially because it came from spammy stuff, to having like practically nothing left. Couldn't keep any of it. I wasn't really that smart with that.
Yeah.
And then I had to go kind of start stuff up myself. And I mean, the first 3 months I made like $15,000, something like that. I'm just repeating the same thing over and over again. And then I don't know, I have no idea what happened next. I decided I was going to try something else or whatever else, and just went down like a path of just like repeated failure over and over again for like 2 years until I accidentally stumbled into SEO.
Wow. I guess that shows something about your character though, about being like resilient. Cause I think a lot of people, especially you know, from where you were from, they may have easily thought, well, that was great, that was awesome, someone screwed me over and now I'm just going to go and live a normal life again. But you didn't do that. You obviously spent a long time then building back up and coming back even stronger.
Yeah, I mean, a long time, a lot of it was also doing nothing and just watching videos all day and watching YouTube videos all day and kind of like, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and not really do anything, just like... like mindset issues, kind of. I kind of got in that trap. You know, everyone gets into that. It was like, yeah, I'm going to build a business. I'm going to do this. And then all they're actually doing is like watching courses or watching YouTube videos and buying domain names that they don't actually end up using and stuff like that, you know?
I still do that today.
Yeah, me too.
It's an addiction, the domain name buying.
And yeah, it is.
Oh, yeah, that's great. Okay, no, that's awesome. All right. So... well, I wanted to introduce you kind of before we got into that.
Yeah, I don't know if you even knew that.
No, I didn't know that. But it's good to know that that's kind of where you've come from, and that's your background, and that's kind of like the desire and the kind of person that you are. Because I think that's reflected in over the number of years. I was just thinking back to like what I was doing when I was 16 or 17, and it definitely wasn't anything to do with business or making loads of money or anything like that.
Yeah, I was a weird kid.
Okay, well, I think like anybody who's been in the space for any amount of time would have come across you or your brand, Lion's Eel, for, you know, if they'd been in the space at all. But for people who kind of aren't familiar with you, like, do you want to tell us a little bit about kind of what you've been doing for the last couple of years, aside from, you know, what you've just shared in the early days?
Yeah, I mean, after that, like I said, after a couple of years, I got into SEO, which was local SEO at the time, because I needed money, and it just, that's what came up, and I was like, all right, let's do it. I then I did a little bit of everything since then in terms of SEO. So I did local SEO stuff. Mostly I did a few lead gen affiliate sites and stuff like that, just when I was get into it, especially because I had a background a bit more in affiliate marketing. So I kind of led into, I kind of knew which offers to pick and everything already. So I just kind of realized that, hold on, I could just use this SEO thing I know now to like point towards this previous knowledge I had. And then obviously, I want to say a year or two after I got into SEO, I started Lionzeal, as you mentioned, which was originally just PBN training. It was just, here's how I'm building PBNs, because that's what everyone else was doing. I was like, they're not doing a good job of it. So I just like let me just share how I'm doing it. And it seems a lot of people really liked it. And that's really kind of what put Lionzeal on the map, what most people, at least back then, I don't know about today, but back then knew it for. Shortly after that, I started the Facebook community, which grew pretty popular. And then the podcast, which I'd probably argue more people know it for now than anything else, which is where I just interviewed a different SEO every week for a year or two, I guess. I think you were saying before, because you checked it, I don't know, it was like 103 episodes or something like that. So, I mean, that was pretty cool.
That's a massive achievement on the podcast front. Like, huge congrats. 103 episodes is, well, I mean, 50 episodes is a lot. Never mind, like, 100. When you started Lionzeal, you mentioned that you were doing, like, it started off as, like, the PBN training thing. How did you get into that? Like, how did you know how to set those up? Was it just tons of testing? Like, how did you, because I guess what I'm asking is, how did you go from like just running social Facebook stuff to then like being this expert in SEO and doing really well in it in such a short period of time?
I mean, it wasn't that short period of time, but I'm fairly technical, I'd say. Not crazy technical, but fairly technical. So, I mean, I already could do web design back then. I could already code my own sites and something like that up pretty well. When I got the first SEO client, I had to learn SEO because, I mean, I knew what SEO was, but I had absolutely no idea in the slightest what to do. But they said they wanted SEO, and I was talking to them like, yeah, we have a team of 30 people. I was like, yeah, I can do that. Why not? Like, just take a shot on this. Why not? The worst case scenario is I'll just refund the money in a month's time if I can't do anything. I took his money the very next day. I bought a course on how to do SEO, and it just so happened, because I've been around marketing a while, that the person that I spotted had a course that literally just launched, like, I want to say like a week before that, was Glenn Alsop, back then, who ran ViperChill, now Detailed and Gaps.com and whatever else, launched his course back then called Backlinks XXX. And the whole premise behind Backlinks XXX is basically build PBNs to rank your sites, and a little bit on SEO basics in terms of on page and that. But that's how I got into PBNs, and I just started like building quite a lot of them. Like basically all the money I was getting from the client, I didn't keep anything. Like I was still living with my parents because I lost my money beforehand. So just all that money just went straight into building PBNs. And that's pretty much how I got into it.
And then you were building those PBNs to rank client sites, but then you started building your own sites as well, I'm assuming, and using them to rank your own sites? Yeah, or did you stick with a client work for it?
So I had the first client, off the top of my head, it was like the middle of the year. It was looking like May or June or stuff like that in a year. I didn't get the second one until like January the next year because I suck so bad at sales. But luckily in the meantime, I ended up building up my own site to like a couple grand a month or something like that to kind of make some money anyway, just like affiliate lead gen type stuff. I built the PBN for that client and then presumably other ones later, which I couldn't get, but used it also for my own sites at the same time.
Nice. That's awesome. I remember ViperChill back in the day. That blog was awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it's still around at detail.com, I think. ViperChill is such a good...
The Gap stuff, the stuff he puts out on Gaps.com as well is, like, that's incredible. But I just... ViperChill, like, that feels very polished now, doesn't it? Like, they do a lot of research and it's very, like, super... The stuff on ViperChill felt like... like, he was just in his bedroom typing this stuff out, testing stuff.
He's still, like, probably my favorite SEO blogger. whenever he publishes something.
Have you tried his new course? Because I think he's just opened the doors to his course again, isn't he?
I bought it for my team. So I just bought it. I was like, guys, go through this. It's pretty good. Like, it's very, 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 very detailed. I wouldn't say it's super advanced, but I don't know. Like, if you give it to like a beginner, intermediate SEO, they're going to learn things. And even I'm going through it, there's little things like, oh, that's a cool little trick. So like, it's pretty decent.
Nice. Yeah. I've been on the fence about whether to get it or not, but I think I'm probably leaning towards jumping in. Cause like you say, there's always going to be little things, tips and tricks you pick up like from these things. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, I just bought it for my team mostly. Cause like I'll have a quick look for it. I'll just give it to these guys and they can run through it and see if we can improve our process at all.
Nice. Awesome. All right. So you were doing that then, and then you started like your own site and that was doing well. And then you got your second client. How did it progress? Well, how did you get these clients, first of all?
I don't remember. I heard in which order anyway. So like the first client was during that couple years when I said I was like struggling to make any money or build anything, I ended up doing web design a little bit for people just because I needed a little bit of cash. But you can imagine how badly I was doing when I was charging like 300 quid for a site. Like, there's just no money in doing that. And in some of them, I even custom designed it from scratch and still charged them 300 quid for the site because I just like needed a little bit extra cash. But it worked out because one of those guys happened to refer someone to me that was the first SEO client, and he didn't want web design or anything. He wanted SEO. And I was like, I had no idea how to do that. Well, I didn't tell him that, but I was just like, like literally this is my sales pitch. I'm like Googling and showing him ads. I'm like, yeah, so this is some ads to run for another business and we can do something like this. And he's like asking for SEO instead. He's like, I don't have examples of SEO, so I'm just going to show him ads instead.
Awesome. And then he bought it, obviously.
But yeah, I mean, I got that client mostly because it was a referral, I think. So they said nice things about me, so they helped. The next ones were, I told you, it took me like 6 months, 8 months to get the second client. That was much more difficult because I'm very, very bad at anything social, anything communicating. I mean, I was much worse anyway. Like nowadays, I can jump on this podcast and like you could just ask me a question. I'll just talk for the next hour. I'm pretty good at it. But back then, I could not talk to anyone. So I didn't know what to do. Like, I didn't meet people. So I wasn't meeting business owners or anything. People were like, oh, start with who you know. Like, yeah, I already had my parents that I helped with SEO, but I wasn't going to charge them for it. So I was like, I have no idea. So I started, I think the next few clients was cold email. I think I actually got into cold email because what I did was the very first client I had was like a member of a franchise, like a franchisee, whatever you call them. And I had this idea, like, why don't I just email every other person in that franchise and just pitch them the exact same thing I'm selling this guy and show them that he's already ranking number one in his local area. So, I mean, it's a good offer. That worked. So I don't know if it's the next client or one of the next few clients, but that actually eventually worked. It just took a while to kind of kick in.
Nice. That's a great idea, actually. If you can get into one franchise and then show results.
Yeah. And also, I also spoke to like the company themselves, like the head office, whatever, and tried to like pitch them on it. But I think they did not like a kid coming in that really wasn't that good at talking or anything, trying to pitch them on this stuff.
Showing them ads. This is SEO. Yeah. This is the SEO I'm going to do for you.
Yeah, that wasn't going to fly.
Awesome. All right. So I guess in terms of timeline then, did you carry on building that up, doing local client SEO work then, or did you get to the point where you stopped doing that to focus on your affiliate sites then?
Yeah, I built that up for a while, and after a while, I kept it, but I didn't really focus on it that much anymore. That was after I kind of moved to Thailand. So I'm trying to remember the timing. I think the first client must have came in like mid 2013. And I think the beginning of 2015, that business was like six figure level. And that's when I moved to Thailand to go live there, including my affiliate stuff, to be fair, as well. And that after that, I kind of just maintained the clients. I didn't particularly want that many. I did get more, but it was not really that active of an effort. And at the same time, I was also kind of building up more of the Lionsdale stuff. We got into selling courses and trainings and whatever else through that, plus building up the podcast and stuff. So that was more fun than just managing my own sites as well a little bit.
Awesome. Yeah, like we speak to a lot, it's interesting. We speak to a lot of, like a lot of our clients are agency owners, okay. like traditional agency owners, or they work with like brick and mortar type businesses. And they hate like working with clients. They're all trying to get, they're all trying to escape it. And they're all trying to build affiliate sites on the side so they can escape their client work. And then like when I have this conversation, like me and Mark did it the other way around. We had like our freedom with our portfolio websites, and then we decided to go into client work, almost like the reverse of these guys.
Yeah.
But yeah, lots of people, like they don't want that responsibility, I think, of managing clients.
Why did you do it? Like, I'm curious, your perspective, and I can share mine as well. Why did you go from having that freedom to then saying, I want to have clients now?
It was almost by accident, to be honest. So we started the team initially to, well, the whole, like how we came about was I was on a podcast talking about how I'd sold one of my sites. And I was like, basically I was venting about how I couldn't find good quality writers on Upwork or you know, wherever else we find them. And I couldn't find good quality VAs to help me with uploading and all kinds of stuff. Or you'd find it like a small team and they were great. And then 2 months later, like they just ghost you, like they wouldn't even reply, like, are you okay? and then Mark heard me and messaged me out of the blue on Facebook and said, hey, I'm having same issues like with my own portfolio, let's meet up. And Mark lives on the other side of the country, he's from Reading and I'm from Wales, so he drove down to Wales for the day. And at the time I remember thinking, like, who is this crazy guy? We chatted for like 10 minutes on Facebook and then he's driven 3 hours to come meet me.
That's so cool.
Yeah, he's really, we still only ever met each other like 5 or 6 times in real life, which is awesome. But yeah, we started chatting and we were like, well, we should probably build our own team, like to service our own portfolio, share the cost. Like we'll build a small team of keyword researchers to help us, and we'll hire some writers, and then we'll hire some VAs to do the uploading. And we did, and that worked really well for our own sites. And quickly we were like, hang on a minute, we need this service, other people need this service. And we launched it, and it's just been a runaway success. Like the business is way more successful than our portfolios now. So we almost got into it by accident. We solved a problem for ourselves and then offered it as a service, and then it just took off then.
Okay, that makes sense though. But was it like, I don't know, am I thinking, like, is it like an active decision? Like, I'm going to start taking on clients, I'm going to be happy working with clients? Because it's like kind of given up quite a bit, especially you guys were 150 plus people or something you said now. That's a complete change to what was like a business that you can just like go live in Thailand or Vietnam or do whatever you want.
It is. It's totally different. I think it's also the kind of people that we are as well. So like me and Mark are both married with children and houses and stuff. I love my life, but that means I can't like up sticks and move to Thailand and travel around for 6 months, living a digital nomad lifestyle. Like as fun as it sounds, like we just can't do that. So it kind of made sense. Like we were going to build something, and sure, you can build a portfolio of websites to, you know, crazy valuations, but, you know, there's more, it was easier to build like bigger valuation and bigger, like a bigger business, I guess, by offering services to clients. We still maintain our own portfolios, like quite aggressively as well. Like I think I bought 6 or 7 sites this year to add to my own portfolio. And last year I built 12 sites, literally one a month on an aged domain every single month.
Yeah,
so we still do it for ourselves.
Cool. Yeah, I was just interested. I mean, to be fair, as we were talking before, like I have an e-commerce SEO agency, so I'm literally taking on clients again now myself as well and growing that. And from
why
my
did you
perspective,
get back into it?
Yeah, it's just a little bit bored, I guess. I don't know, just something different to try doing. there's a lot of it. I mean, I started, we were talking before, right? And I was saying when I originally started, I just kind of wanted to document the process a little bit and show it works. I haven't sold it in a long time, but years ago, a couple of years ago, something, I used to sell courses on how to get clients and build up kind of, I wouldn't really call it like an agency, because I don't really encourage most people to have an agency. Well, you guys is like a legit agency. What most people, I think, want is more freedom, really. So I kind of encourage people to build more of like a consultant type business, where even if you're doing SEO, you're still working with like 8-15 clients at most, and just trying to build like a very small lean business that can make a couple hundred grand a year or whatever it is you're looking for. So I wanted to kind of document a little bit like how it's done. I'd had some in the past, I left them in the past and got rid of clients in the past and did all that sort of stuff. I was like, I was kind of a little bit bored. Plus that, I was like, let me just start a new agency and let me just kind of document how I do it and show the process. And that's, I started doing that on YouTube, I guess a year ago, because it's about a year ago that I started agency now. And it was pretty fun. So I started off the first 2 or 3 months, we did our first like 100 grand in sales. I mean, that's like the fluff number that sounds cool, but it's not, it's contracts, right? So it's like they sign a 12-month contract that's technically worth 100 grand, presuming they don't cancel or anything that goes wrong. So it's like the cool hook for YouTube. And I mean, for the most part, we crushed it anyway, of course, but it's just the cool sounding number. But yeah, so I just did that. It was pretty fun. So I was like, okay, let's just focus on doing this again, because at that point, I already have much of a team left anymore, because I kind of stopped doing a whole bunch of stuff. I didn't really need them. So it was kind of fun building up a team again, trying to build up a new agency again. So I was like, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. And like, that growth is crazy. I want to dig into that a little bit, like, because that kind of success is not typical, right? I guess. Or maybe it is. I guess it's
free clients. It's free clients. That's it. Yeah. It's 100 grand of sales. We're talking free clients. It's like $3,000-ish a month average per client for a year contract. Like, it sounds cooler than it is.
I guess when you break it down like that, it sounds a lot more achievable when you break it down like
that. Yeah, it's not that impressive. But the cool thing was, it was like, I didn't tell anyone in my audience I was doing it. So I didn't know, none of the clients knew who I was. I was just cold email just to show that it works. And it's the same approach I've been teaching for years, which is find some businesses you want to work with, send them an email offering like a video to review their site, and then pitch them on SEO. And I mean, it just works. And it's still what we do today to land clients.
Does that still work today, where you take it, like, review it, cold pitch it, send it? And
very, 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 very well.
Yeah. What are you including in those videos then? Like, what do you cover?
It entirely depends on who you want to target. Because obviously, I have a bunch of guys that I've coached on how to do this that have pretty good agencies. Bigger than mine, that do local SEO and other stuff.
Okay.
And I'm doing e-commerce SEO, and it's predominantly Shopify. But if I'm doing e-commerce SEO, I think I've really got to do a little bit more than what, hey, for example, let's say you email a local business owner and you start telling them, hey, your canonical tag is messed up on this page. This page is missing the title tag. You have keyword cannibalization between these two pages. They're going to be like, what the heck is this guy talking about? Like, it's not going to make any sense. But for e-commerce, I can totally do that. And they kind of get what I'm saying a little bit. I might have to explain it a little bit more than I would just there. But I dive pretty in depth. So we're doing like 10-15 minute videos. And I'm really just like pulling up like a Google site operator search for like a bunch of common issues. And I'll say, hey, here's like 200 thin content pages because you have tags indexable. And then I'll show them...
Right.
Open up like a main collection page or category page for their products and just pull up like using bookmarks and stuff, show them like, here's a title tag, meta description. You can see there's no keywords here. Your H1 is actually a logo, not the proper heading. And just all that sort of stuff. And just run through it. Like, I'll pick out like 10-15 issues on their site in 10-15 minutes, which just seems impressive. And again, it's the same as before, right? Most people we send that to, I hear nothing back. So I spend like 15 minutes going through the site and then they won't even say thank you. That's it. Like, I'll never hear from them ever again. But the 10%, 20% that do come back, most of them will get a proposal, and practically every single proposal will go ahead and hire us afterwards.
Nice. So is that the kind of success rate you see in like 10 to 20%?
I mean, that's after sending the videos. Probably. I picked a number out of my head, but some in that sort of region.
Okay, awesome. So you send them the video, they sign up then, and do they, are you trying to get these, are you signing these people up on like a 12-month contract then, typically? Like, how does that whole after sales work? And I know nothing about e-commerce SEO. Like, is it totally different from like a 12-month plan for an affiliate site? Is it totally different from what the kind of work you would be doing on an affiliate site?
Well, you're doing affiliate sites, right? I don't know if it's like new sites or like, for example, most of our sites are established sites. So for e-commerce, one of the big things we have to handle immediately is there's going to be a bunch of technical SEO issues right off the bat. There's going to be like a ton of them. We're talking 10,000 plus page sites easily. So there's going to be like a lot of crappy pages. Just for example, like we use, again, most of our clients are Shopify. Shopify do tag pages for products. So when you create a product, you can create like 3 or 4 tags for it. That creates a new page every single time for each category that the product's in. So that can be like hundreds of pages potentially. On the blog, it's same as WordPress or anything else. You have tags, same thing, creates tons of different pages. Whenever you set the product type in Shopify, that creates an additional page for every single type. So that could be hundreds of pages. Whenever you set the brand of the product, like vendor, that's a different page for each individual one. So that can be hundreds of pages. Again, not everyone has these problems, but there's just like a ton of issues like that we clean up first. So we're talking like 2 to 3 months to kind of clean up all the issues in terms of technical stuff. And then a lot of it is similar. The only thing is we do a lot of on-page SEO versus content. So we do content as well. But a lot of it initially is bottom of funnel stuff. So, you know, people searching for the product category, people searching for the product names or anything like that. That's where the real money is, if you can rank for that stuff. And if we can't, or if you just want extra, then that's when we're going to your middle of funnel, top of funnel, blog content type stuff.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I know there's some out of the box issues with Shopify. I've seen people talk about where like the category pages, the tag pages and stuff.
Yeah,
and I guess most people, normal people don't really understand that.
Yeah, they don't. But you can kind of explain it in a way that a client can see, like, oh, there's 200 pages here. He's saying they're all junk. Maybe they are. So if they trust you, then you can at least show a visual representation by seeing here's all the pages. And I just open the page up and see, hey, there's nothing on the page. Like, it's exactly the same as the other one. So they can kind of understand that.
Yeah. Do you deal with, do you ever deal with clients that sell on Shopify and then Amazon as well? Was it mainly just clients that stick to the
Amazon, but it's not, we don't do anything with it. It doesn't matter to us. So, I mean, the client does whatever they want on other platforms.
I was just thinking from a prospecting perspective, because I know at the moment, like the hot trend this year has been like these aggregator companies buying up FBA kind of businesses and brands. And I imagine lots of those guys have a standalone Shopify store. I mean, if they've been bought into like, you know, with VC capital or whatever, like I imagine then they've got a ton of money to then start developing their own channels.
Probably. Yeah. It's not actually, none of the clients we have are like that. So it's all kind of like, obviously older businesses, but it's not actually all older businesses. Some of them are just like some dropship guys that make pretty good money and stuff. But a lot of them are just kind of pretty established sort of businesses that have built up their brand and stuff, which is also cool because you're looking up like their brand name and some of them have like hundreds or thousands of searches. That was all not of, or thousands of searches a month for their brand name, which is nicer clients to work with, I think. But yeah, I mean, you're probably right. It's probably a pretty cool angle. All I do, because we're pitching Shopify stuff, so there's approximately 2.7 million Shopify stores, at least according to Built With. Data. So you can just download that, hand it over to a prospector, and we just email them. That's it.
That's amazing. So I guess you do that first. That is a first step. Then you email them, and if you get a reply, I guess you'd ask them in the first email if they were interested in a video break.
Yeah. And then the old approach I taught was like, pretend you've made it. And I was like, this is stupid. Why would I do that? So I used to kind of say, hey, I made a video for you. Are you the right person to send it to? I don't like it. So I just stopped doing it. I was just like, hey, is it okay if I send you, like, here's what I do. So I'm going to email them and just be like, I use kind of bulk data from Ahrefs, Majestic, whatever I can get and kind of export and use it in here. So I'm going to mention like, hey, I'm emailing you because you're on Shopify. you're a, I don't know, a domain rating 20 site, but you have like 50,000 people visiting your site a month. That means you can probably do some really, really cool stuff with SEO if you just fix up some on-page factors and stuff like that. Do you want me to send you a video showing you how to do it? And then I do a little bit self-bragging and stuff like that to kind of say why they should let me do it. And then that's basically my email.
Okay. No, I guess that works really well, especially if you can see that. Do you use how do you send those emails? Are they, because we set up when we run our shotgun campaigns, we've got a whole like setup where we create a new email address and we have to warm it up, and then we have to use Hunter to gather the email addresses, and there's a whole like suite of tools. Have you simplified that process at all? Or is it still, it's all that still?
Yeah, same. Yeah, warm up. We use warmupinbox.com for that. I have three different emails for client outreach, and then use Woodpecker for actually sending them. I don't use Hunter though to get the emails. Or maybe my process. I don't know. I just found a guy on Upwork. I pay him like $5 an hour, and he just does all of that stuff. So I don't know what tools he uses, but I just get the list back at the end, and it's good, and it works.
Nice. All right. Yeah, have you ever used MailShake? Because we use MailShake. I've never heard of Woodpecker for the sending.
I used to use MailShake. Yeah. I used to use it ages ago, and I think it used to be really, really cheap. It was like $10 or $20 a month or something, or some like deal ages ago. Then I went to look at it, and it was like $40 or $50 or $60 a month. And then I don't know. I was just like, I mean, it's the same price I think I pay for Woodpecker anyway, but I felt annoyed that I used to be on like $10 or $20 and that was like $60. So I was like, I'm just going to buy another tool and try it out. And actually, I like Woodpecker much more actually, but it's the same sort of idea anyway.
Same kind of thing. Okay, awesome. Ask the team to have a look at that. So it's not just you in the business though, right? So you've got a couple of staff, like, I guess to facilitate the lifestyle kind of business that you wanted to build.
Yeah, it is. I think I have six people now, five or six. I'm not going to count it in my head, but five or six.
And are they like full time? Are they VAs? How is this structured with you?
Yeah, I mean, almost everyone except one person is full time. So mostly I work with, I don't think my clients listen to this. So mostly I have offshore guys doing the work because my whole model is that I want super lifestyle friendly and I want pretty small business overall. So if I can go pay these guys pretty reasonably, we're talking $10 plus an hour for offshore guys, but then go ahead and sell that to the client for $130 an hour. That's a pretty decent little business, and I don't need that many clients to kind of do pretty good with that. The only exception to that is the account manager, because obviously I can't have someone from India or the Philippines or wherever else, Vietnam, talking to my clients. It's not going to give a good impression. Yes. But aside from that, it's all like offshore people, but it's not like VAs. It's not the same thing at all. It's like people that like have their own affiliate sites and kind of know what they're doing with SEO already. They just happen to be based in like a developing country or so. Like the recent guy I hired, he's like 21 years old. He makes like $1,500 a month on his own affiliate site already. So I was like, well, this is obvious hire. He knows what he's doing and he wants to kind of learn from me and get the opportunity. So it's a good hire for both of us.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. So I guess we do something similar with our staff in that we actively encourage them to start their own side projects, like their own sites and stuff, just because even our writers, like if they've got an insight into, you know, the whole process end to end, rather than just being like a small part in a bigger operation, it just means we can deliver like better service for customers. And I've heard people shy away from that. Like when we had our like a contract written up, the HR guy that we had write them up was like, "You guys have put this in here to say they can work on their own side project." I'm like, "Yeah." Like, are you sure you want that? I'm like, "Yeah." Like, as long as it's like related to what we do, then that's totally fine.
Yeah, I think it's fine. I think a downside, because I've had kind of experience before. I mean, to be fair, I don't care. It worked for me, but is when you hire like entrepreneurial types, at least the way I did. And I had like entrepreneurs work for me, and they work for me for 6 months a year. Then they go off and do their own thing. And it was really only that temporary thing. And it's kind of a pain to kind of build your team and build your systems and processes around the person that's only going to be there for a year or two at most. But I mean, also out of experience, it was pretty cool working with them anyway. And I got to help someone out and they have a cool business themselves now. So it's not all bad.
No. How have you combated that going forward then? Are you just avoiding those types of people?
Yeah, I mean, try my best, I guess. I have no idea yet. The agency is a year old, so we're going to find out. But
yeah,
ideally, I don't want someone that's only looking for something very, very temporary for that. And then also, I'm very lifestyle business oriented. And if any of my guys want to switch to something similar later where they just reduce the hours down and take more of like a, I don't know, like a management kind of reviewing stuff role, that's also cool with me. If they want to bring it down to like 20 hours a week and they have their own stuff going, but they still want to be involved for benefits of kind of learning for how we're doing it, then that also works as well.
Yeah. You sound like an amazing, amazing boss, to be honest, Daryl.
Most of the time. I still got to work on my management skills a lot, to be honest.
Oh, I guess that kind of brings me on to my next part is something which we kind of talked about a little bit before we started, but it sounds like we both struggle with is like letting go and delegation of tasks and like that whole mindset of can someone do this the same way I can and all that kind of stuff. But I guess you have to do most of that if it's a lifestyle business.
Yeah, well, I'm good and bad. So in one way, I pretty much don't do client work. Like from the first client we had in this agency, I don't do it. I don't do that stuff because I don't want to, and it's not fun. But what I have kind of spent a little bit too much time on is kind of managing your overall projects for each client. And while I won't ever do the work, I was kind of mapped out. Here's the plan, what we're going to do. I'm going to review the site initially and kind of share my thoughts on his way you should focus, his the main focuses, his the direction I want you to take, anything like that. So, I mean, to be fair, I'm still working. I'm doing better with that today. But that was more my issue than actually doing, like, I would never do the work. I'm not going to sit and optimize 10,000 pages myself. It's never going to happen. But it was just kind of, it was not the task so much as the kind of the responsibility of an the actual overall project that I need to do better at delegating, which is again, still just a work in progress. But I think one of the things I've been trying to do better recently, actually, just off the top of my head, like, because something that's come up recently is that I had this thing I always do before is like, I really love designing processes. So I would design a whole process, like here's from A to Z, how to do everything once you get, I don't know, for the on pages, exactly how to optimize the page, is like the entire process. A to Z, and then I'd hire them and give that to them. And the problem is they keep asking me, like, oh, what can I do this bit instead? Or, what do I do for this if this happens? They keep asking me questions about it. And I realized that actually I shouldn't give them the process. I should just kind of give them some tips of kind of what I want done and just let them design it themselves because then they won't come like asking me a bunch of questions about it afterwards because they own it, not me.
Do you know all that's so relevant recently because like we make a lot of like video based SOPs for our staff. And recently one of our staff has been asking lots of questions. If it falls outside the realm of like the video step by step.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
Like what do I do here? I'm like, well, Google it. Like, or like, I can't get this to work. Well, have you Googled it? Like, no, the video doesn't say that. I'm like, dude, think outside the box, like you can't just follow the video.
Yeah. So that's kind of the same thing I have is like, if it went exactly to plan, it's great. But what if it doesn't? And then I'm getting messages for it. And I, like, to me, it's like, because it's not like they don't know it or they're not intelligent enough to figure it out. They're very good at what they do. Yeah. So they could easily figure it out, but they just want to check with me because they don't want to mess with my process too much. I was like, this is really dumb. So I was like, okay, let's just like, I literally like just told all of them, like, whatever the process is, I don't care. Like, drop my mind completely. Just do whatever the heck you want. Just make sure the end result is like this and I'm happy.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it allows them to like evolve the process, especially if you've given them courses to teach them different ways and stuff. If you've got one set way and it's always that way, they're never going to iterate that process and make it better.
Yeah, exactly. Because yeah, the other downside of that, of course, is that it kind of relied on me to grow the process as well. Because if I didn't change it, they didn't want to change it because my process. It took me kind of going through it every now and then, saying, what can we do better? Which doesn't even make sense because I'm not the one doing it. They're the one doing it every day. So they know a lot more about it than I do.
Yeah. No, that, yeah. I think these kinds of things people don't really talk about when they talk about running a business, because these are the hard things, or at least things I found really hard over the last 2 years.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah. Hiring people, managing people, everything is difficult. That's probably the most difficult thing.
Yeah, well, me and Mark, the business grew so fast for us. At one point, it was like 40 people just reporting into me and Mark because we just grew so quick. I'm like, oh my God, yeah. How do we manage this now? We put a management team in place and a senior management team in place, and like it now goes to several levels. But people starting businesses, unless you're in that mindset of like growth, or even just you don't want to be the busiest person in your business, you always like I've always found that thought about management and delegation and responsibilities is like the afterthought. And nobody plans it out. Nobody's first hire is a manager to manage employees number one and two. If I could start again, that's what it would be. Like, I'd hire a manager to manage my first employees from day one.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. No, I'd probably do something similar. It depends on, it also depends on the situation, though. Because, I mean, if you're just starting out and you just landed like your first client, you're not really making that much money. And to go and give all that money to like an account manager or something is pretty terrifying unless you have experience. That also sucks. My agencies kind of took a few, these agencies took a few different turns. Like when I first started, I had a friend of mine that's pretty good at SEO, very good at SEO to be honest. And I was just like, you do all the client work and I'll just go get his clients. And that was kind of how we originally started. And then he wanted to go do some different stuff. It wasn't just really working that well. I mean, the clients were getting results. He was doing the work well, but it kind of just took a different direction. So I just took over the entire thing and started hiring a bunch of people left in myself, which I went from like, I was like barely working, just bringing clients, to suddenly have to do like everything all suddenly, which is a complete utter mess. The biggest hire for me that makes the biggest difference is a project manager. I mean, I have to fulfill the client work, but like a project or account manager, someone that can talk to the clients and get me away from that is the one thing I really, really dislike.
Yeah.
And just making sure everything's on track.
Yeah. I remember we talked to Dom Wells, who runs OnFolio now.
Yeah.
And he'd been through the whole process of running an agency and then selling an agency. And he said his first hire at OnFolio was an operations manager, but basically like a project manager, essentially. Like before he had any other employees, brought someone in like as a manager before he had anyone to manage.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, that's that one role makes my life significantly easier at this point. We're not even that big yet, but I was like, I need that person. Like, I do not want to do this work.
No, for sure. Okay, so I guess you've. Since you've been doing the e-com SEO, you've now started to develop your own e-com assets as well, right?
Yeah, just one currently live, but yeah, working on others as well. Probably, I don't even know. I like e-commerce SEO. I don't like, or like I have one, as like I probably should launch more, but like it's such a pain to manage all the extra stuff for it. So obviously you have an affiliate site, you just collect your commissions and maybe try and negotiate a better offer, but like, you already do that much. With e-commerce, you've got to figure out, you know, what exactly are you selling? Where exactly you're sourcing that from and all that. I have a pretty good deal. So my store, I won't say what it is or the niche, but basically it's, we have manufacturers basically in the UK that will make the product and drop ship it direct to our customers for us. And the good news is that pretty much all our competitors, there's only really two or three manufacturers, suppliers in the whole industry that are any good. Yeah. So every single one of our competitors use the exact same suppliers anyway, which is really bad from a business perspective, because you can't really stand out. You can't really beat anyone's pricing because everyone's on the same price and the same margins, stuff like that. But it's very, very good if you're very good at SEO. You can just happen to be all those competitors when it comes to SEO.
Yeah, definitely. How did you is there a process you went you went through to find like that niche and those suppliers? Or because with affiliate marketing, like you say, it is you literally just Google best affiliate programs for, and it's there on a plate for you. I guess it's so much harder to find manufacturers and set up those deals and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I knew the niche for a while, so I already knew the niche pretty well. I just kind of just made it. I was just like, I wanted to start something in e-commerce myself, and I was like, this is the easiest one because I already knew the niche. I already did some marketing in there for some of the big companies as well. So I just kind of knew it already. Yeah. So I was like, I just picked that. It was pretty simple then. After that, I mean, if you know the niche, you can find suppliers easily. You just search like suppliers of X, and then you're going to find or manufacturers of X or whatever. It's obviously all in the UK for me. You're going to find them anyway. You can find the exact same ones I found. I just happen to know kind of the business quite well already. It very, very easy.
Yeah, no, I was thinking back. So going back a couple of years ago, I had a partner that we used to run our like affiliate websites together, portfolio sites together, and then got to the point where we kind of wanted to go our separate ways. And I said, What are you going to do now? And he said, well, I'm going to do drop shipping. I was like, hey, you don't know nothing about that. Like, you've never set up ad campaigns. And he's like, no, I'm going to learn it. I said, awesome. He said, do you want to come and like, should we start this together? And at the time I was like, no, like, this doesn't sound like a great idea. You don't know what you're doing. Honestly, fast forward 12 months, like we caught up and I was like, how's things going? He said, things are going great. He's doing like 30 grand a month at that point, drop shipping with a UK supplier. Nice. And I was like, holy, how did you do that? And he took some course and he locked himself away for like 12 months and he built the website on Shopify from scratch and taught himself how to find suppliers and list them and taught himself advert, like Google shopping ads, all kinds of stuff.
That's a lot.
And I think he's doing like 50, 60 grand a month now. Like the margin is not great on drop shipping stuff. But
yeah, sure.
It's still impressive.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, to learn. I love that stuff, though. When someone just kind of, one, reinvents himself. I think that's so cool. They kind of change direction. Yeah. Like, it was surprising when someone has the guts to completely change what they do. And then, secondly, to actually pull that off afterwards is even cooler.
Well, this guy is great like that. So when we first started our affiliate sites together, he gave up a six-figure, like, traditional job. He's like, I'm going to quit my job and we're going to do this full time. I was like, are you sure you want to do that? Like, all right. That's so ballsy. He did. Yeah. So that like that was his, like balls of steel doing that. And then he did the dropshipping stuff. And I spoke to him literally like a couple of weeks back and I said, how's things going? He said, oh yeah, I'm doing really well now. I'm in like the publishing space, like Kindle books, that kind of stuff. I was like, how have you done that? And he's doing really well in that. I was like, what's going on here? And he's just the kind of guy who can like absorb information and then turn it around and start it and do it well very quickly. It's great.
Yeah, that's so awesome. Yeah, I've seen people do similar stuff, just kind of completely change. It's really, really cool. I mean, mine's not really that impressive. I just happen to know the business and just like, okay, let me just start this as like an experiment niche, and I already done marketing. I even did affiliate marketing in that niche before as well. Anyway, I was like, okay, let's just build an e-com site in this instead. Now, it's not that impressive. And it just kind of stood out to me because I was looking at the competition and we're looking at sites that are making like a few million a year revenue that are domain rating 35 to 45, which just isn't that high for the sort of numbers that are pulling in. And I already knew the business. Yeah. I had pretty good idea what the profit margins were and everything like that. I was like, based on how many links and how much content if I need to publish to kind of compete with those guys, it seemed reasonable. What I was going to say, and I wasn't sure if I should say it, but actually it doesn't matter, is I know the business, the actual, like I know the business because it's my dad's business. He had a local business for most of my life. And he, quote unquote, retired, more so just like quit and like, I've had enough of this crap. Moved to Spain and just like closed the business, and I had the domain just sit in there, and it was just kind of staring me down, like maybe I should do something with this. So I was like, so I looked it up a little bit more, and I also did some marketing in this space and affiliate marketing in this space as well in the same niche. And I was like, screw it. Let's just try this one out as an experiment. But that's kind of how I got into it. And that's why I knew all the suppliers and knew all the information, because when I was a teenager, I had to begrudgingly help my dad every day, like submitting orders to suppliers, delivering flyers and like all that crap like that. So that's why I knew it so well. That was my niche research. It was like 10 years or whatever, just helping my dad.
live in the business for 10 years and then, oh, look, I can start this now.
Yeah, exactly. But obviously his was like a local one. And I was like, I could just do it online only, at e-commerce only.
Yeah. Yeah, it would. I wonder how that would have worked out if your dad kept at it. And then, like, I don't know, I guess, was your dad in like the manufacturing side of things, or was he just in the like the distribution side?
Yeah, just distribution side. A little bit both, actually, but mostly on distribution side.
Yeah.
So my dad's problem was he didn't know how to grow a business. And thankfully, he'll never listen to this, so it doesn't matter. But he didn't know how to grow a business, and he did too much work himself. And you didn't hire enough people. Yeah. And I mean, it's very difficult because you're at that stage of like a local business where your lifestyle inflates to match the business. So our lifestyle got much better from when I was a kid. We're relatively poor to by the time I was like a teenager, my family are well off for a shitty town anyway. But as a result of that, they didn't really make that much money in the business at the end of the day to hire people and really grow it properly. And the correct approach, again, it's easy for me to say this as an outside perspective now, I wasn't doing it, but the correct approach would be to keep those expenses really, really low, hire more people, expand into additional towns and stuff like that and grow it properly. But also, I don't even know if he wanted to do that as well. But if he did, that would be what to do. But in the end, he just like quit and like, I've had enough of this stuff.
I was thinking it would have been cool if like he handled the business side and then you were just like the marketer bringing in all these customers and that kind of stuff for his business.
Yeah, I mean, on a local level, I did it. A lot of their revenue came from, like, they dominated their town for like every single product and everything like that. You search for it, plus the main service. They were number one organic and maps, plus PPC, plus had like the best website by far. So, I mean, I did that, but it's only on a local level. So it's not that much of an impact. Yeah. It's just that town.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right. Well, I want to ask you one more question kind of before we wrap it up. And because you've done a bit of everything over the last couple of years. And then I know you get bored easy and move on to something else. But but I guess two questions. One is, what's next for you? Do you even know that? And then another one is, it like, if you had to start again, having done everything from like social media spam to like local SEO to running a client, an agency for local businesses to your e-commerce stuff, like what would you do? Like what would you pick to start over again with? What's the easiest for someone starting new to get into?
Okay. So the first question, what's next for me? So I'm not particularly excited by running an agency. I mean, it's pretty fun to kind of build a team, but I'm really more interested in how can I kind of build a solid team that can do really, really cool work for me. That's much more exciting than that. I don't care about working with clients that much. It's not that exciting. Again, hopefully none of them listen. To be fair, we do cool stuff for our clients, but it's not that exciting. It doesn't, like, I don't get out of bed thinking, yes, let's go get some new clients. It's going to be great. But what I do get excited by is building up like a pretty solid team again of people that can do whatever. Like, I have a cool video editor, for example, for my YouTube stuff. And do I really need it? No, but he's awesome. So I want to have someone around that can do that stuff. Plus all the SEO stuff as well. So that's really the most exciting thing. So then the question would be really, why do I want the team? And to be determined with the e-commerce site and then probably some other stuff later. We'll see what kind of catches my interest. As you mentioned, actually, and I was telling you before, like, you kind of picked it up pretty quickly, but I get kind of bored quickly. So I do that all the time. I get bored. Like, I businesses doing six figures here and I'm like, hey, I don't want to do it anymore. I'll do something else. And just kind of jump around all the time, which is kind of dumb for scaling, but it's kind of whatever catches my interest. I just kind of enjoy it. So the idea behind the agency was like, if I'm going to keep jumping around, I really should have one consistent thing that just kind of stays. So the idea with Head Agency is that it's the one business I knew 100% that I could build up myself and hire like an operations person and have them run it entirely for me so I can do whatever I want. So that was the idea behind it. It was like, I have that consistency from that one business, so I can just kind of jump around and do whatever the heck I want. And then I have the team and the cash flow from that business as well to kind of support that weird lifestyle of starting new businesses and doing whatever the heck I want all the time.
Yeah.
So that's it. So I don't really know what it is, but that kind of indicates the direction that I'm kind of looking in with it.
Yeah.
As for where I start again, I probably do something. It depends on the situation. I mean, if I start over with no money and nothing again, then I'd probably do the same thing like e-commerce or something, e-commerce SEO clients, just because I can just go out there and get a client to pay a few grand a month, and then it gives me cash flow to support whatever else. Probably something like that, just to build up cash flow. If I had some money in the bank, like a decent job making enough money, don't really have to worry too much, and that can fund some stuff, then maybe some of my own sites or something. It whatever I feel like that month.
Yeah.
It depends. But I mean, I have an agency and I like it as a business model. It's not something like exciting long-term, but it is something long-term to support other ventures and stuff and build up a cool team. That's kind of the point I was making, which I think is a cool way to do it.
It's a means to ends, basically, then. It's good fun, but it allows you the freedom to live the life you want and also explore the other opportunities that may come along whenever they come along next.
I'll tell you what I do love, though, about it, which is really odd for like an introvert that couldn't talk to anyone like a few years ago. I love sales. Like, I really, really, really love the sales part. Like, jump on a call and convince them that we can help them out and close a deal. I still do the sales myself at this point. I love that part. Yeah. And I love not operations, but part of the operation is kind of like the project management, really, like the processes. Like, how can we get better results for our client while doing less work or doing as little as possible to get them as much results as possible? So our profit margins are getting better and better all the time. That sort of stuff is very, very fun for me. I could spend the next week in spreadsheets and not talk to anyone else and I'm happy.
Yeah, I think you've got to be a specific type of person to be good at that stuff. You've got to be very analytical, very logical.
I'd like to think so anyway.
That's not me. it is kind of me, but yeah, it's not what I enjoy doing.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. If people want to reach out to you or like follow along with everything you're doing, where's the best place for them to do that? Is it on the website, or have you got other ways you want to engage with people?
I don't really do that much anymore. So the most active place where I haven't even posted in like a month or two, probably 2 months now, is YouTube, which is the one place that's kind of building up a little bit more. But I haven't done that in a month or two, but I probably will do it again at some point. So obviously under my name, Darren Rosso, you can find me on YouTube, but I probably will do the more stuff. Or yeah, I mean, I don't really publish anything anymore, but if you go to lionzo.com, if you're on my email list, then you'll know whenever I get a new idea. So I just kind of pop up every now and then with some cool stuff and then disappear again for a few months. It's kind of my approach these days.
That's your standard MO, basically.
Yeah, I mean, I was like, what I did with Lionzio was very consistency. And if you ask me why Lionzio podcast was popular when other people did SEO podcasts similar before, I would have said I was the only person that did it consistent, because there was people that started SEO podcasts before me, but none of them did every single week without fail, never missed it. I was the first person to kind of do that properly. That's why I think it did well. Yeah. And then if you ask me why it doesn't do so well now, it's because I probably stopped doing that.
Yeah, it's a double-edged sword, isn't it? If you stop doing it, then it's
I didn't want to do that anymore, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess you got bored of it, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah. But awesome. All right.
It's fun though. Like, you're doing a podcast. Oh. Podcasting's fun. It's just, after like 103 episodes, like I really needed a break. And I don't know, if I do another podcast in the future, I'd be open to it. I like the discussion once more. I don't know if you guys have thought about this. I love to like just discuss a topic or idea and just kind of share your thoughts on it. I like that a lot more than interviewing someone, and there's no scheduling issues then.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned that because we've got some ideas for new content for the YouTube channel in the new year, which and one of those is like a almost like a round table kind of chat rather than just two people kind of like interviewing each other, basically. You just got a topic and you all just kind of share your thoughts and ideas around that one topic and can last for an hour, it can last for 10 minutes, depends on how much everyone's got to share and their thoughts about
exactly.
That specific
I like that.
Topic.
Yeah. I think it's cool.
Yeah.
I was going to ask before we wrap it up, did you want to mention anything about the Facebook group or anything? I don't know if you guys have any ideas or plans for that.
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, we haven't announced it yet, but by the time this goes out, we probably will have. So, we just purchased your Facebook group.
Well, I just think it's a cool opportunity because we're both on the podcast together now.
Yeah. I guess tell us a little bit about it. Like, well, obviously, you've sold it and you wanted to get out of that kind of area. What made you want to get out of that? Like, why did you think you wanted to sell it? And I guess, what would you do if you were us then, like, to make the most of it?
Wow. Okay, so Facebook group, like, if anyone doesn't know, I guess, a little bit of context. Like, when I started lionzeal.com and I started blogging about PBNs and stuff like that, shortly after I mentioned I started a Facebook group, which grew pretty well, especially with the podcast and everything as well. That's up to 22,000, something like 21,000, yeah. Something like 20-ish thousand members right now, built over several years. And it was really, really cool. Like, I loved it. It was like every day I'd be on Facebook chatting with people, having discussions, answering questions. It was just a really, really cool place to hang out. And I love building that up. And as we did podcasts and stuff, kind of the guests came into it as well. We had cool discussions there. It was like a really cool place. It was one of the coolest SEO Facebook groups, I think, in my very biased opinion. But I stopped going on Facebook actively for a couple of years, a few years or something like that.
Yeah.
I just, to be fair, the only reason I was on Facebook is because of business anyway. Yeah. I mean, look at my Facebook friends list. I have my mom and stuff on my Facebook, but it's like all business people. If you look at anything I've ever posted, I don't share personal stuff.
Yeah.
Really, unless I just randomly feel like it. But it's very, very, very rarely. It's every single post that I make is public. It's just for business and for connecting people. So it's not personal whatsoever. So I just got bored of going on Facebook. I keep using this term, getting bored, but I just stopped using Facebook.
Yeah.
And I don't really use social media that much at all. So after like a couple of years of it, the group obviously wasn't that active anymore. And I just decided, let's close it. And originally it was going to be close it as you saw the post. It was like, I'm just going to close this thing down and just and not have to check it anymore. Because I think it'd be a nice exit just to close it down and like wrap it up. You know, like when a TV show kind of drags on too far.
Yeah.
You know, like that last season, it just sucks and they ruin it. So it's like, let me just close this and like we can wrap it here before it gets worse and worse and worse, especially if I'm not checking it, removing spam or anything like that. Yeah. But obviously we got to talking, you guys ended up acquiring it. And I think you guys would do it. A good job of it. I think you guys would take care of the community and everything well. So I was pretty happy to go ahead and do that deal.
Awesome.
Then the question, what would I do if I was you guys?
I guess if you knew the answer to that, you'd probably have done it with a group anyway.
Well, I couldn't be bothered to, like, I kind of had some ideas I could have done to grow it myself if I wanted to, but obviously one, get someone to like a community manager to do more content. Obviously, a lot of people, like most people in the group, came through knowing me personally.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if it was me, I'd do more me stuff, whereas like doing live streams, like Q&As, AMAs, or whatever, just kind of post more and share more content in it. That would obviously help. Obviously, if I restarted a podcast, that'd probably help.
Yeah.
But really, it would just be getting discussions going. I mean, there's 20,000 people in there, just having a community manager like posting, engage in stuff to get discussions going. It's not like I mean, maybe because it's an old group, maybe there's a few thousand of them, maybe 6,000, 10,000, I don't know how many that got out of SEO.
Yeah.
There's going to be at least 10,000 people that are still doing SEO and still interested, or they're suddenly not interested anymore. So just find a way to engage them again, really.
Yeah, definitely. We've got a ton of new plans for the group in the new year. So we've just brought on like someone
awesome.
to engage with the group, almost like that community manager role that you just mentioned. And we're starting to build new case studies that we can share. But rather than just like, I hate it when people share a case study, we don't really tell you like how they did it. It's just, they just share like a number, like an analytics graph. I'm like, great, how did you do that? So we like break it down, what we did, timelines, how much was spent, and like some of the technical stuff that go into the case studies as well. Like on some of the site build case studies, it's like how we structured the site, all that kind of stuff. And I think it's that kind of content that the audience will really like and hopefully start engaging with again and sharing their experiences.
Yeah, especially like posted directly in Facebook as well versus like linking to a blog post, I think works really, really well.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess the other thing which I'm going to start doing more of is like I'm still really active in like the age domain space, like expired domains and auction. And I see all kinds of crazy, crazy things every week. People bidding on domains that they really shouldn't be, or like domains which I track after they've sold and like see all the crazy stuff people do with them. And that kind of stuff I think is super interesting to share as well.
Yeah, that stuff's awesome. The other thing would be from when I used to do stuff anyway, Facebook love like crappy viral stuff and I really don't like it. But if I was going to do like a case study, right? One of the things that I realized is that I can get engagement up way, way more in a group just by posting before I post a case study, posting, hey, I have a new case study I'm going to share that shows how we did exactly A to Z, how we took the site from like zero to 100,000 visits a month. Comment yes if you want to see it. Yeah. And then like 200 people comment and it really boosts up the engagement in the group and it makes it more likely you're going to see the next post as well.
Yeah.
It's cheesy. I hate that stuff, but like it seems to work.
look out for those kinds of posts coming in the new year then.
Yeah.
Awesome. No, it's great. We're really excited. And I know it's been your baby for the last couple of years and we'll take good care of it. And hopefully the audience will like what we share and get involved and get engaged there as well.
Man, I think. So like 5 years. So,
yeah, it's a long time.
Awesome, man.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, long time.
All right. Well, thanks, Daryl. It's been great chatting to you. I think our audience is going to like this. It's slightly different to our normal episodes. I think we've talked about like higher level running agency kind of stuff. I've really enjoyed it. So thank you for your time. Appreciate it. And we'll put some links to like your websites. People can get on your list or if they want to go back and listen to some of the old podcasts, they can as well.
Awesome, man. Yeah. Again, thanks for having me. It's been super fun. I haven't done any podcast interviews like this in like a little while. So it's super fun to get to come on, be egotistical and talk about myself for a long time.
Awesome. All right. Well, thanks, Daryl. Have a great rest of the day.
All right. Cheers.
Bye.
Thanks again for tuning in. And I hope you enjoyed the show. If you're listening to the podcast version of this episode, please subscribe on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please rate and review, as this will allow us to grow our audience and create more shows like this one. If you're watching on YouTube, please subscribe to the channel and click on the bell to be the first to know about any new episodes that we release. Until the next episode, goodbye.